In Focus, I'm Dave Lewis in for Brady Bowman this morning, and Craig McClure's in here.
I was worried there you were going to forget who you had.
Why?
Pause there.
Huh?
Long pause.
Well, sometimes, you know, I have to breathe.
Okay.
Sometimes I have to breathe because, you know, it's been an exhilarating morning so far, and I'm a little bit out of breath because I've been talking a lot.
You do that anyway.
Thank you. Thank you. Good to have you back.
Thank you.
Yeah, and we were talking about this before the program, and because we did get a little bit of rain overnight. Thunderstorms came through, but Sam, you may follow up on this later in the day. The good news is the testing at Fort Riley, I understand, is ending Sunday. That kept me up for a while last night.
I've learned to sleep through it. I don't know if I've told you this.
You live right next door, don't you?
We live really close to it. I was telling you that when I was in Clay County, we lived over the area where they were shooting from, and now we're down here a little closer to where the bombs land. And so, yeah, we hear them.
So is there a difference between launching and landing?
I think it's about the same.
It's about the same.
About the same.
Even with the new toys?
The new toys are special.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
What was that, Sam?
I was just saying the Fort Riley isn't keeping me up. It's the just found out the central air is right outside my new apartment, so people are already turning on their air conditioning, and it's really loud.
Until you hear it kick on. So at our house, so the kids have grown up with this, and so they're used to it.
Sure.
And so they're afraid of storms. Well, they were. I mean, they're like 14 and 17 on the youngest now. But when they were like, I don't know, 5, 8, whatever, if it was a storm, we would just say, oh, don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. It's just bombing. And they'd go to sleep. Now, isn't that odd?
No, but that's cagey. That's actually pretty brilliant there, Greg.
Yeah.
That's pretty smart. You know, I think you just started a whole new trend throughout the area.
Yeah, I doubt it.
You doubt it?
I doubt it.
But, you know, we got just a little bit of rain. I don't even know how much we got, but it wasn't much of anything.
I woke up to hear it, and then when I went out this morning, I really thought I would see something totally dry.
I saw some this morning, and I don't know what time you get up, but I get up maybe a little bit earlier than you, but around here, you
probably
could
got
see
up
that
the same time, but I was up for a different reason.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, checking the sheep.
Checking the sheep, yes. Okay. All right. But, and this is something right now that is crucial. We're hearing it all across Kansas, you know, not just about the burning, the wildfires. Of course, you know, you had one up in your neck of the woods here just a few weeks ago. Goodness, you know, it's dry.
It's dry, no doubt.
Kansas is the driest state in the Union.
Yeah. Surprisingly, if you dig a little bit, I probably could reach moisture if I was planting corn today.
Hmm.
I know that sounds unusual. We're supposed to be complaining about how dry it is, and it is, but let's be optimistic.
Okay.
It'll rain.
Well, and one of our guests from the latter half of the hour, Ken Johnson, he was talking about he's planting potatoes tomorrow.
Yeah, sure. Well,
got to do it.
What did my neighbor tell me last week? It always rains after a drought.
Wow.
Profound, right?
Wow.
Profound.
That's almost as good as what you were talking about, it's just Fort Riley whenever there's a storm. So, hey, you got a lot of things coming along, and this is a busy time of year. It's almost spring, literally, technically almost spring, just a few days away. You have livestock meetings. You got all kinds of things going on.
Yeah, I kind of like to take the opportunity to advertise some of these things. First one, I like to lead off with what's coming up. Our Livestock Association, so Riley County Livestock Association, has a spring meeting. That's coming up on Thursday, March 29, 6:30 p.m. at the Fairview Church Fellowship Hall. And so Fairview Church, that's right across from Riley County High School, mm-hmm. So just diagonal across the intersection there. Dale Strickler will be the speaker that evening, talking about grazing cover crops. And so Dale actually works for Green Cover Seeds. We've used him before. He does a really good job. While he is a salesman, he actually is in the business, growing cover crops and grazing, has his own livestock grazing operation, so has a lot of experience with grazing cover crops. And so that's why we've invited him in to speak at this meeting.
Explain what the grazing cover crops concept is.
So cover crops, actually kind of the trend is that we plant another crop in between that cash crop. And so it may be rye, maybe oats, it may be turnips, you know, any of those things.
Turnips.
Turnips, yeah, they like turnips in fall. So lots of different things, and really a lot of them are mixtures, How big a mixture should it be? You know, that's a debate. Some people like to put all kinds of things out there. Others say that's not necessary. But the idea now is we keep a cover on there and we actually conserve moisture, conserve nutrients, and actually do a better job of managing our soil by having it covered all the time. And so the only problem with that is it costs money to put that cover crop out there.
And what's the benefit?
So the benefit is actually nutrient and moisture conservation, believe it or not. You'd think, and in some cases, it may work against you on the moisture. And so that's a questionable thing. But improvement of the soil, improvement of organic matter. So those are the ideas. Problem being, if it costs $20 to $30 to put it back, to put that out there, then we need to recover some of that. And so those in the livestock business, the way to recover that is with grazing.
Gotcha.
And so, and there's producers making some pretty good money by grazing cover crops.
So you throw, you do the seeding of the cover crops after the wheat harvest, is that?
Yeah, after wheat harvest.
After wheat harvest.
That would be a common deal.
And how soon after can the cattle start to get out in the fields to graze?
Well, it may be October, depending on what you planted. But you may be able to graze some of those things through the winter, depending on the winter we get. And so it's a good concept. Now, the purists in the no-till business would say it's not a cover crop if you graze it, then it's a grazing crop, but yeah, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the point here is if we plant a cover crop, in my mind, we need to get some sort of income out of it.
Sure.
You know, just throwing money out
some
there.
Some benefit.
Sort of benefit. I mean, there's probably a pretty good idea, pretty good chance that there's a benefit to the soil, but really we need the finances to work too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you can't just keep throwing money out there and not getting anything back. So grazing those cover crops is the way to get some money back out of it.
How do you seed turnips?
With a drill.
Really?
No, you don't plant it very deep.
Uh-huh.
My dad used to seed turnips when he planted alfalfa. So I always threw a little turnip seed in with his alfalfa. Dad was one of those that really liked turnips and apparently really liked to lose friends because he'd take the 50-pound bags and fill them with turnips and then give people a whole 50-pound bag of turnips. Instead of two or three. That's all. You know, he go to church with a...
Your distribution plan had some flaws.
Go to church with a pickup load of turnips and expect people to want a whole bag.
You don't have a turnip feed after Sunday service?
You know, I got kind of tired of turnips. Dad always liked them.
Oh, my.
Anyway.
Never knew a turnip I liked.
They're not that bad raw.
Oh, okay, sure.
Okay.
Right. So how long then do the cattle have the opportunity to graze before you have to, retill the field?
And again, we're probably not going to till the field. We're probably going to leave it as no-till.
Okay.
But you may be able to graze, some are going to graze clear up to maybe April, depending on what crop you're going to plant back. Research would indicate that we can graze through the winter up until the 1st of February without really doing any damage as far as hurting the yield. So mm-hmm. we've got some time for the soil to freeze and thaw after that. You know, the concern is in a wet winter, you could do some damage with cattle out there packing it down.
Okay.
But research indicates that really no problem doing that. So, you know, I'm all for grazing.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the details on the Livestock Association spring meeting, when, and we talked about where, and registration and such.
Excuse me. So again, it is Thursday, March 29. There's a meal provided, actually going to be catered by the farmhouse out of Olsburg. I don't know if you've eaten there yet. Give them some free advertising. They're really pretty good. Mm-hmm. I don't know what their hours are, but they've catered a couple meetings for us, and they do a really good job. $8 per person to attend. Deadline for reservations is Monday, March 26. And online reservations are really the best for us. It's just at our Riley County Extension website, which is www.riley.ksu.edu. We can also take those by phone at 785-537-6350.
Okay. And it's also time to start talking about some safety matters because there's a lot of youngsters that are getting out there and every year. And you got new folks that are getting on the equipment.
Yep. Tractor safety is something we do every year. We generally teach that in late May. We've got a group here that teaches together. We Riley County, Pott County, Geary County, Wabunsa County, Shawnee County, I think, are the core in that group. We hold this training over at CanEquip in Wamego. The dates this year, it's actually, we got a couple months away, but it's time to make some planning. So May 25 and 29. It falls actually on a Friday and a Tuesday. It's kind of a strange scheduling thing. We like to do it back-to-back. this happened last year, trying to find a window in there after school, before we go to camp, before to, around Discovery Days. You know, there's several events that affect our lives that may not affect all the kids, but we need to schedule around. So May 25 and 29 is our tractor safety course. $30 charge to attend, and that's meals both days and the book. Kids that are 12 through whatever are welcome to attend, but the tractor safety is actually required for the 14 and 15-year-olds who plan to work for someone other than their parent operating a tractor.
All right.
So, you know, your 12 and 13-year-olds, those younger kids actually can't legally work for someone other than a parent operating a tractor.
Gotcha.
Once they're 16, they're not required to have the class, but they still should.
We have a phone call. Let's take that, and then we'll take a break. Good morning. You're on K-Man's In Focus with Greg McClure.
Good morning. Thank you very kindly. I've talked to a couple of legislators. I talked to the president of the Farm Bureau about this subject, and you're just talking about safety and tractors. I would like to see, you know, we have a seatbelt law, we have speed laws, et cetera. I would like to see a law passed, one seat, one rider. One seat, one rider. This stuff, these kids riding on tractors and falling off, I've lost a couple of my friends have lost children doing that. I rode on the tractor, guilty. It's not safe. It needs to be stopped. Riding on lawnmowers, riding on these bobcats, it just doesn't make any sense. Every year we have some kids killed. We had that little girl killed over at Abilene where she's riding a combine. Something came through the camp. But tragic. It breaks families up, and it's just a simple thing. And I don't know why these people in the legislature won't listen. And you talk to them, and they're like, let's get away. Well, hold on. We kill 40,000 people on the highway every year, nobody says anything. And they're sure not saying about these young kids being killed on tractors. One seat, one rider. I think you can get it done. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a tough deal. You know, that's exactly what we teach in the class, is you got one seat, you got one rider. If you have a roll bar on that tractor, you wear your seatbelt. If you're in a cab and you've got a seatbelt, you wear your seatbelt. We teach the kids that, you know, there's a key in that tractor. When you get out to go do something, you take that key with you. It's one of those things that the employer and the parent may not agree with. We tell them, come back and talk to us about it. If they think that there's a problem with their kid being safer than what they think they need to be.
Well, it's good they're being discussed during this seminar.
Yeah, and it's a really good point. One seat, one rider, and I get it too. You know, I grew up riding on that fender of that tractor.
Well, we didn't have fenders on a lot of them.
Well, the fender was, I can show you, it was this wide, so what is that, 4 inches? Yeah. You know, it was not a good place to ride. I was scared to death at that time, and, you know, I don't know what my dad was thinking. You know, he was thinking he had his kid with him, and maybe I would hang on. But
I rode on the toolbar in the back of the tractor and fell off a couple of times. You know, there are some things that, you know, just got to be smarter about.
And, you know, I've taught this class, well, going on 30-some years now. And
you're not that old.
We always tell them one seat, one rider. And then when my son went through the class last year, I had to go home and teach him how to drive a tractor. Hmm. So now what do you do? And this was a real dilemma for me. I've only got one seat. I don't have a modern tractor that has the instructor seat. You know, the new ones, the new combines have an instructor seat anyway. Some of the new tractors will too. And so I put him in the seat. I'm kind of standing on the drawbar.
Yeah.
And I forget that this kid has never driven anything that has a clutch. So it wasn't a lot of fun. Now, of course, he was going forward. I was behind. So he was really just going to dump me off if he did it. But it wasn't a good deal. And so there are challenges even in that part. Even though we know what needs to be done, you know, you do some things that don't seem quite right. Of course, and I did this when my wife wasn't around, because my wife would have said, don't even let him drive the tractor. And I think that's unrealistic. You know, eventually, you know, we've got to teach the kids how to do things, and better to do it while I'm there.
Yeah. We need to take a break, and we'll be back. We got some things. We're going to briefly talk about some planting soil temperatures, and then a few other upcoming events. Greg McClure, Riley County Extension Ag Agent, our guest on K-Man's In Focus.